The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." He rose, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. And because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes the Holy Family is thought of as totally serene, never having any troubles, as being sort of a nirvana where no problems or struggles existed. The paintings and statues that we often see of them give this same impression. But the gospel today proves that wrong. Years ago, a psychologist came up with a list of stressful things that can happen to a family, and he assigned point values to these various events. Highest on the list, as you might imagine, are divorce, death in the family, and moving. He said that anyone who accumulates 200 points in a certain period is headed for a calamity in the near future, like getting sick or dying, something like that. And then a theologian took this work and applied it to Mary and her family. He noted that if all of the point values were added up for everything that Mary went through in her life, she would have over 400 points. So the Holy Family is not ignorant of the forces that act on families, even today. For example, Herod the Great and his family caused Jesus and his family no end of trouble. The gospel today portrays Joseph and Mary moving several times due to Herod, to Egypt and back. And for that time, they moved an awful lot, and not just short distances either. Egypt is a long ways from Nazareth, especially if you have to walk it. That had to have been incredibly stressful for them, especially given that their moves were because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. So they were essentially running away from a very bad situation. Let's look at some other events that they went through. Both Matthew and Luke tell us that Mary got pregnant out of wedlock, which was probably interesting to the neighbors. I mean, they could count backward from the time that Jesus was born to when Joseph and Mary were living together as man and wife. And then later in Matthew, when Jesus comes back to his hometown and preaches there and astounds all the people, they said, "Is this not the carpenter's son?" And you have to wonder if they were winking at each other as they said this, because they remembered that something was amiss with his birth, and the Holy Family had to suffer their judgment, even though, as we know, they were innocent. And then Mary, possibly as young as 14, had a visit one night when she was home by an angel asking her to become the mother of the Son of God. No wonder Scripture says she was greatly troubled at what was said. In Luke, we hear that Mary, not long after this, went by herself all the way from Nazareth to Ein Kerem, where Elizabeth lived, to visit her while her elderly cousin was 6 months pregnant. I would imagine that traveling while you are pregnant is hard enough, but to do it that long of a distance and under those conditions would have been very difficult. There were no cars or airplanes or buses back then, so she would have walked, most likely in the company of a caravan of people. And you have to wonder if one of the reasons for Mary's visit was to get some advice from a trusted older relative about the things that she was going through. It's situations that, like this, that make me think that Mary had some chutzpah, as Jews say, that she was no wimp. And then remember that Joseph and Mary couldn't find lodging in Bethlehem, so they had to give birth to Jesus in what amounts to a cave, possibly during some very cold weather, which probably wasn't very fun. And they were there for some time, too. As Mary was recovering and so forth, then the Magi had to have time to arrive to see them and give them the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they also entertained strange Gentile guests for a time, even though those shiftless shepherds that lived on the fringe of society. Luke reports that Joseph and Mary lost Jesus for a time when he was around 12 years of age. They had been on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, traveling by caravan once again, and in the midst of their arranging to get back to Nazareth, they lost track of their son. You can just imagine what they both went through before they finally found him in all places at the temple. And Mary said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." My mother would have probably used different words than that. And of course, the very worst. Mary knew what it was like to lose a child. She stood at the foot of the cross and watched the whole thing from beginning to end. And this she had to go through without Joseph, since he was probably long gone by then. So the Holy Family can identify with us in our problems and struggles in life. We revere them because of the fact that they weathered all of this and still stuck together to the very end. So when we pray to Jesus or ask the help of his mother Mary or his foster father Joseph, we're calling upon people who know how hard life can get. They went through a lot. And how did they get through it all? I suppose you could name lots of things, but assuredly, there was their faith in God. As St. Paul says in that second reading, "Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility and gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another." This family worshiped together and surely prayed with one another. And when families pray together, I think a kind of glue forms between the members and keeps them together and becomes the measuring stick as to how they treat each other. Now, probably you poked your spouse when you heard Paul say that wives should be subordinate to their husbands. But read the whole passage, and also a similar one from Ephesians chapter 5. What he's really saying is that the members of the family should subject themselves to one another. Wives to husbands, husbands to wives, parents to children, children to parents. And they have to consider the needs of the other people in the family to be just as important as their own. That's kind of what it means to be subservient. With our faith in Christ and with the Holy Family's help and example, our families can look at least somewhat like the Holy Family. Why? Because whatever we do, in word or in deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him.